Well, we've said that there's much love to be found in Deuteronomy, but of course it is a book of law. Its very name should tell us that. You may not know very much Greek. You don't need to know it. The word Deuteronomy comes from two Greek words. Deuteros is the word for second. Nomos is the Greek word for law. Hence Deuteronomy, the second law. Because you'll be aware that we find the commandments again in this book. Just the chapter after the one from which we have read 40 years before, we remember how the commandments were given in the book of Exodus in chapter 20. Well, we find them given again here. Why are they given here? Well, because soon Moses was going to die. And so he would, before he would leave the people, he'd remind them of the great truths that they needed to know. He was going to die. This was his farewell address. These things in Deuteronomy were all said in the month before he died. And then, of course, Israel were going to enter into the promised land. That's another reason for them being reminded of all that God had said to them. So Israel's about to lose the leadership of Moses, about to enter into Canaan. They're told about the blessings that can attend them if they walk in obedience. And they're warned about the curses which will fall upon them if they turn away from the Lord. And if you know your Bible, you will know much of the heartache and the miseries that were theirs in after years when they departed from the Lord and God's judgment fell upon them. And we learn that God always keeps his word. God always means what he says. God's warnings are to be feared. And of course, we say God deals with the sins of nations, with the sins of the nation of Israel. But we all ought to remember that God will not just deal with Israel and leave other nations unpunished. God still deals with nations today. And God can humble and bring down mighty nations, nations that once the earth feared them. They're no more now. Never hear of the Babylonians now or the Romans now. All vanished in God. God deals with nations and empires, and God can bring them down. But then when we speak about nations and Israel's sin and the sin of other nations, do not imagine that God will let our sins as individuals go unpunished or unremarked upon. The book of Deuteronomy certainly would encourage us to remember that we should learn to fear the Lord. God means what he says. And yet, we say this, in the midst of wrath, God remembers mercy. And our text shows us that even while God speaks of Israel being scattered to the ends of the earth, he shows them that there's a way back from them. It's found in our text, when they're scattered across the face of the earth. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thine heart, with all thy soul. There was a way back for Israel to the Lord. And we want to take what God addressed to Israel and apply it to ourselves tonight. We also ought to heed this text. If from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thine heart and with all thy soul. The first thing we'd highlight from our text are the problems in which we can seek the Lord. It says in verse 29, if from thence, from the situations you find yourselves in, from the places to which you've been scattered, from the circumstances which you're now facing, if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find them. Moses was able to tell his people of some of the circumstances into which they would come. He speaks of tribulation. Look at verse 30. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto his voice. It goes on to say, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto thee. So there's encouragement given to Israel when they're in trouble, when they're in tribulation. The same thing applies to ourselves. when we're in tribulation. Maybe it would be that someone who hears my voice tonight and you find yourself in a measure of trouble or tribulation. It could be something small to others, but it's big to you. Could be losing our friends or jobs or homes or health. Israel, it was a matter of being scattered to the ends of the earth. We think of what happened to Israel. What a sorry tale the history of Israel is. I've recently just begun to read a history of modern Israel. And of course, the background is set up and the programs and the persecution of the Jewish people across the centuries. Oh, how bitterly they have been treated. And that includes in countries like England. Brutally treated, massacred. Right throughout the centuries. Oh, what sorrows and what difficulties have been theirs. For Israel, things have been as bad as they could be. We think of what happened when Nazi Germany sought to exterminate them. But you know, even after that, when some of those who had been in the concentration camps were endeavoring to go back to the places in which they lived, places like Poland, groups of them, 30, 40, making their way home, they were slaughtered by the people of those areas. It wasn't just the Nazis that treated them. So what a sorry, sorry history is theirs. And yet the Lord says to them, when things are as bad as they can be, you can seek the Lord. You can seek the Lord. If from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thine heart and with all thy soul. If from thence, whatever the circumstances are. Maybe there's a young person here. I don't know you. But maybe you see it yourself. Your life is in somewhat of a mess. Maybe some within the sound of my voice would even fear to own up to the things they've done, the things they've been involved in. Might be afraid of some saying, I told you so, and would gloat at your fall. But the Lord will not treat you like that if you come to him. If from thence the circumstances in which you find yourself, no matter how bitter or how desperate they are, if from thence, from circumstances, no matter how bitter or difficult, you can seek the Lord. It doesn't matter how big the mess is. You remember, of course, that most beloved parable, that of the prodigal son. What a mess he made of his life. Oh, he left home with his head held high so arrogantly, thoughtlessly, cruelly, treating his father. Had a wonderful time, it seemed, for a while. And then, when the famine came and the money was all gone, he found himself, for a Jew, as low as he could be, feeding the pigs, and would have been tempted to eat what was set before them, but no one would even give him that. And yet, you remember what happened. He came to himself. He thought upon his father's house. And he got up and he made his way home. And what a welcome he received. If from thence, maybe you're a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter. I remember some years ago being in a bookshop and picking up a book. It was called No Deals. I thought I recognized the name of the author in the cover. I looked at the blurb on the back. I discovered it was someone who'd been a near neighbor of mine when I was growing up in Lisburn. I had come to Christ and had gone on with the Lord. He had gone off to London, got involved with drugs, got into jail for all sorts of misdemeanors, stealing prescriptions, etc. Found himself in all manner of trouble, tried to get out of the difficulties, got worse and worse until one day he was lying in his mother's pensioner's bungalow in Lisburn, dying, and he knew he was dying. In that state, he called upon the Lord to save him. And the Lord saved him. And the Lord changed him. Now he's saved by the grace of God and able to warn others of the dangers of those addictions. If from thence, whatever the difficulty, whatever the mess is, whatever the situation is, whatever the complications are, if from thence you shall seek the Lord, you'll find him. It says in that verse 30, and when thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God. Of course, it's speaking of later years in the history of the nation, but we can apply it to ourselves in the latter days. Maybe it's not someone who's young. Maybe it's someone whose youth long behind them now. And you look back now and you can say you've wasted many precious years and your life hasn't turned out as you thought it might turn out. Let me say, even from thence, you can seek the Lord. You say, but my life's in a terrible mess. I don't know how to begin to sort it out. If from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thine heart and with all thy soul, no matter how bad things are, there's only hope if you will seek the Lord, if you'll cry earnestly to him. If only there's a real, earnest seeking of the Lord. And it needs to be an individual thing. You see, it says in that verse 29, if from thence thou, that's singular, thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Three times the emphasis is on the individual there. Maybe we could put your name in there. You're the individual. You're the one that the Lord's speaking to. Isn't that a wonderful thing that God can speak to us as individuals? I think I may have mentioned it before, that time when Christ came to a tree and the wee man up the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Tonight I must abide at thy house. That was wonderful. The Lord knew him and called him. And maybe he's speaking to you tonight and calling you from that entanglement, that difficulty you're in. He's calling you, and it's you, you're the individual. You've got to come. You've got to come. You know, the Bible has never taught us that religion was something you leave to others. I have spoken to people, and they have taken the attitude, well, I leave it to the minister, I leave it to the priest, they're the expert, and God will not blame me. You can't do that. Can't take that attitude. We're responsible for ourselves. It's all our own decisions. It's not enough for you to leave it in the hands of others. You need to seek the Lord three times over. Three times over, this word thou is used. You've got to do this. Three times over, there's an emphasis if a word is repeated. It's there twice, but it's there three times. The Lord is speaking to you. Is there a man, a woman here? Older person, and the Lord is speaking to you, and you know it. You know, it's a tremendous thing when God speaks to us as individuals. When we know it's me, I'm the one. Preacher, you don't know my circumstances, but I know it's me. And the Lord saying to you, if from thence, whatever your difficulties are, if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. Isn't it time to get on your knees? No matter how bad things are, if you'll seek the Lord, there's mercy with the Lord. And sometimes people want to seek the Lord about their problems. And they want the Lord to sort out their lives, but the biggest problem you need to sort out is your sin. That's the biggest problem. Because the Bible warns us and Hebrews 9, verse 27, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. That's the biggest issue. That's the most important thing. Are you ready? If the Lord was to call you to account before him, are you ready tonight? We must prepare. The Bible teaches us we're all sinners in the sight of God and shall perish eternally. Unless we repent and call upon Christ. But then secondly, we notice the promise that is given to those who seek the Lord. It's a glorious promise, that verse 29, if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. Thou shalt find him. Maybe you have to go with me so far. You can see your sin, your difficulties, but you say, can the Lord really save me? Can the Lord really take my life? Can I really find the Lord? Well, here he says, if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. This is the Lord speaking. This is God speaking. This is Jehovah speaking. This is his promise. He's telling you it's no waste of time to seek him. And that's because of the kind of God he is. Moses, in the chapter we have read in verse 31, tells us, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. The Lord thy God is a merciful God. There's hope for you. You've looked at the mess, the difficulty, the problems, the issues. And the devil has tried to discourage you. But the word of God is saying, the Lord thy God is a merciful God. God does deal with sin. God does punish sin. We recognize that sin must be dealt with. But God delights in mercy. Judgment is his strange work. And that's why God sent his Son from the glory of heaven into this wicked, sinful world. We look around us and we sigh as believers today at the wickedness of the world. But it was a wicked world when Christ came into it. The time of the Roman Empire was a wicked, wicked time. Wicked. Awful. Horrible. Read Romans 1, it'll tell you all about it. That God sent his Son into the world to be our Savior. That's a great indicator to us that the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He sent his Son from the glory of heaven and permitted him to die at Calvary in the place of sinners. It was God in mercy providing the means for us to be forgiven. God delights in mercy so much that in the person of his Son, he died for our sins. The cross of Christ shows you how important God's mercy is to him. We can't begin to appreciate what was involved in the cross. We, perhaps as believers, are familiar with the language, but think of it. God, the second person, took flesh and came into this world and allowed people to take him and to abuse him and to brutally crucify him, to spit at him. We, above all people, should recognize what a moment this is, that God in flesh has been treated this way. Why? Why? That we might be forgiven. That salvation and pardon may be available for sinners. That's what Moses meant when he promised Israel that if they sought the Lord, they would find him. And that holds true for us. If we repent from our sin and seek the Lord, then we'll find him. There's a wonderful statement over in Isaiah chapter 55. I suppose Isaiah 55 is one of the better known chapters in the Bible. And there in verse 6 and 7 it says this, and it fits right in with what we're saying, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. There you have it again. There you have it again. This is the Lord's word for someone here tonight. The Lord has this for you. The Lord's speaking to you just as surely as he was to reveal your name to me and for me to look around and call out your name, maybe point to you and say, look, young person, older person in the meeting, the Lord has a word for you. Here it is. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And then listen to this, but and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Listen to it. Let those words sink down into your heart. Feel them. Feel the wonder of them. Feel the richness of them. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The margin puts it, he will multiply to pardon. He will multiply pardon to you. There's an abundant pardon. The pardon for all of your sins, no matter how depraved or dark or how many there are, he will abundantly pardon. Here's his promise to you. If you will seek him. The pardon's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing when there's been someone who we've been at odds with and it's been bothering us. And we can get it sorted out and we say sorry to each other and shake hands and go away and we know we have been forgiven. The matter's been put right. It's a good thing. Great blessing in it, but it's a tremendous thing. When it's the Lord, when it's our God, when it's our Savior who is assuring us he will abundantly pardon us. He will multiply pardon to us. You know, there's a wonderful illustration of this in the Acts of the Apostles. We're told how there was a man called Cornelius. He was a Gentile. He was a Roman centurion. He was a proselyte to Judaism, or at least a follower to some extent of Judaism. And he had been praying to the Lord and evidently praying that the Lord would instruct him further. And so what did God do? God had Peter in the right place. And he knew Peter as a Jewish man with all his prejudice would find it difficult to go to the home of a Gentile. And so he had Peter go up onto the rooftop and to fall asleep and to see that vision of the sheet let down from heaven full of all sorts of animals and creatures which he as a Jew would never touch. And when instructed to eat them, Peter says, Lord, I have never eaten anything that's unclean. And he's told, don't you call unclean anything I have cleansed. And it happens three times. Why? Because the Lord then goes on to say, now there's three men knocking at the gate downstairs. You're to go with them and go to the house of Cornelius. Why? Because the man had been crying to God. And so God works in the heart of Peter, this prejudiced Jewish man, who would have thought it unclean of him to go to the house of a Gentile, and in fact was called to answer for it later on. Why did you go to the house of a Gentile? But God does this. Why? Because the man is crying to God. God works in this way in the life of Peter. Because there's a man seeking him called Cornelius. God works in the heart of Cornelius, and God works in the heart of Peter, and sends Peter to him. The point being that God heard the prayers of Cornelius, who sought him, and sent Peter to his house, and they were all met together to hear the gospel. What a wonderful day that was. Those Gentiles welcomed Peter, the Jewish man who wouldn't have entered into their home previously, to come, and they said, we're all here now, we're waiting to hear what you have to say. To hear the gospel. God worked because someone sought him. Isn't that not an encouragement to you? A fulfillment of our text, of Isaiah. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Of Deuteronomy 4:29. If from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. One thing lastly, and in closing, surely there's a thought here about the passion with which we should seek the Lord. You see, it says in that text in Deuteronomy 4:29, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. Listen to this bit. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. In other words, you need to mean business with God. No messing around anymore. no lighthearted approach to this thing. You need to mean business with God. You need to be prepared to let the old life go. And you need to seek God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your being. You need to mean business with God. It's got to be a heart and soul matter. It says, seek Him with all thine heart and with all thy soul. It's to receive your full attention. Maybe the matter of your soul salvation has been thought of by you from time to time. Maybe you've been at a graveside and you've been troubled. Maybe you've heard a particularly challenging sermon or passed an opener meeting and you thought, I'm not ready. I would need to get saved, but you've done nothing about it. Hasn't really received your attention at all, perhaps. Is it not time it did? And it's got to be a heart and soul thing. If you're earnest about the destiny of your soul, and you should be, for this is a huge matter, the destiny of your soul in all of eternity. What if you die without Christ? What becomes of you if you die without Christ? Can you consider what will befall you if you die without Christ? What your experience will be? Have you thought about it? Have you thought of your soul dropping down into God's hell? Have you thought of how you will know? You will know. You will know that you are lost. You will know that you're lost for all eternity. You will know that you are without hope forever. You will know that your soul is damned forever without hope, in darkness and in torment forever. Have you thought about that? Because if you have, you ought to be in earnest, cast into utter darkness. I remember one time being down a mine, Wales. And the guide took us down. He says, now for a moment or two, I'm going to turn off the lights. Just stand where you are. We turned the lights off now. He said, remember, no matter how long you're here, your eyes will not adjust because there's no light to adjust to, no light at all. He was trying to illustrate what it'd be like for a miner, especially in the old days when the candle would go out. But I thought, what must it be to drop down into outer darkness? Cut off from God and good and pleasure. Not know the sun upon your back or its equivalent, or friends, or love, or any of those things cut off forever. This is serious. Of course, what a glorious thing it is for to die in Christ. To die as a believer. This is a big thing. Some here will remember a man called D.S. Heron, who was an elder in Monieslean. Remember going to Beaver Park to visit David in his last illness. He'd had cancer some years before. It had come back. And I remember sitting with him. It was a lovely afternoon. I was thinking of how I will minister to this man. He said to me, you know, all through my life I had to face all sorts of things, and very often I'd be sitting and my wife would sit and hold my hand and say to me, David, you'll be okay. We'll get through this. We'll get through this. I was very fearful in various circumstances, but he says, I know I'm dying, but the Lord has given me wonderful peace. Wonderful peace. It's glorious to see it shining out of the man's face. Someone on the edge of eternity who was ready, who was prepared. See, I said, that's something tremendous. So this is a big thing, isn't it? What a contrast between someone cut off eternally, and someone entered into the presence of Christ. That's why you should seek the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. It's your eternal destiny we're talking about. That's why you should be under the sound of God's word. You should put yourself under the sound of God's word. get into the gospel meeting and come again and again and seek to listen carefully and cry to God to speak to your heart if you're having difficulties. No need to hold back. But if you're in earnest, if you get under the sound of God's word and get on your knees and cry to God to do a work in your life, be determined not to let heaven go until you are clear that Christ has saved you, that your sins are pardoned and forgiven. Be in earnest. Not just getting on your knees and praying a wee prayer and getting up and hoping all will be well. Be in earnest. This has got to be a heart and soul thing. It deserves to be. What a text we have. What a statement. In the book of the law, too. If from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thine heart and with all thy soul. You want to seek the Lord. Good to see young ones here. Are you saved? Many will have heard my testimony from the last time I was here as a little boy of 12. Sat in a meeting not unlike this, and I knew the Lord speaking to me. And I went home and got down at my bedside and asked the Lord to save me. And he did. Even 12 years of age, he changed my life. A few days later, my mother said, "Have you got saved?" I was shocked. I hadn't told her. I said, "How did you know?" "Because of how you're singing in church." I was singing differently. I hadn't realized it. Just 12. What did you do? Are you saved? Maybe you're not 12. It was a long time since you were 12. Can you even remember it? And you're still not saved. Isn't it time? If not now, when? How long are you going to leave it? Think of it. For you to die in your sin. For you to drop down into hell. And know that you're lost. Forever. Hopeless. What a tragedy. For you, what a disaster. And yet God in his grace says to you, come, seek and you'll find. May the Lord help you, bring you to himself.